we're thinking this morning about worry. So I wonder, do you worry about things? I do. Last Friday, I had a fairly typical day as a GP. I saw about 25 patients in the morning in about under 4 hours. In the afternoon, I had to deal with phone calls, urgent visit requests, tasks for urgent prescriptions, seeing lots more people. There was much more that I could do than there was in the time available. I had to make some tricky decisions about what was going to fill my time. And I had to stay late until I'd finished off everything long after everyone else had gone home. When I got home, I wasn't feeling exactly bright and cheery, shall we say. But my mind was churning with all of the things of the day. Had I said the right thing to that person? Had I done the right thing with that test that I'd organised? Had I done the right thing with not seeing that person? And over the evening, those worries were crowding back in my head. And so what I want to think about is, what do I do about that worry? But I've also got some friends that I'm going to tell you about. I've got a friend, Ganita. I think her photo might appear up on here. Yes? No, that's me. That's Ganita. Okay, so Ganita's part of our church, Leeds Vineyard. And she told me about a time a couple of years ago when she started to worry a lot. She was worried about her children, especially when she was trying to go to sleep at night. She worried about their safety, and every small noise that she heard in the house triggered off just this whirlwind. She described a whirlwind of anxious thoughts. She was waking up in the night worried, and she couldn't go back to sleep. So Ganita's a follower of Jesus, and what does that mean for her worry? But I've also got another friend, Jan, who I actually met when I was studying medicine here in Sheffield quite a long time ago. And I met up with Jan not that long ago, and she was telling me about her story of worry and how she shared that in her church where she lives now. And she described some of the things that make her worried. She wrote, being driven in the car, going to the shops, particularly clothes shops, being away from my family for long. I hate not being in control and get very anxious about disappointing or upsetting people. I have a constant fear that people will find out that I'm not the together, in-control person that I try to project myself as. So I work hard at keeping it under wraps. So how does worry affect Jan? She says she gets a tight feeling in her chest of not being able to breathe, shaking, various aches and pains. And she said, my imagination can conjure up all sorts of awful scenarios which generate vicious spirals that are hard to break out of. I try and avoid things that make me feel anxious if possible. So Jan's the bottom left. Jan's the follower of Jesus. What does that mean for her worry? So in today's culture, there's lots of evidence for how worries are affecting people's lives. Worries might be huge issues like terrorism or climate change or abuse. They feel like very much today's issues. But then there are issues that are things that have been worrying people over years and centuries, health, our money, our families. And Jesus was familiar with worry. He made reference to it in Matthew 6, which we'll come back to a little bit. People then worried about having enough to eat and having enough clothes to wear. And Jesus said, do not worry. So is it that simple? So this is a part of a series of talks that you've been doing, Living Life as God Intended. And today it's God intended our lives not to be overwhelmed by worry. So we've called this one Living Life as God Intended, Freedom from Worry. So I want you to have a look at the passage, and David's going to hand it round to you. I've given it to you, actually, in a different translation. So I'm going to talk from the Message, which is a paraphrase, and the passage I've chosen is in Philippians. But if you've got a Bible with you, I think it would be helpful for you to turn to Philippians 4 in your Bible and put them alongside each other, because when you're using a paraphrase, it's not exactly literal, and so it's good to sort of compare it to what the slightly more accurate version is showing. But there's just some phrasing in the Message which I think is really helpful. So it's Philippians 4 verse 6, and I'm going to read from the Message. I'll just, before I read it, actually, so this is written by Paul, and Paul was a church planter, a bit like Alex, but he'd suffered a little bit more than Alex for his faith. Sorry, Alex. He'd been put in prison and tortured, And he'd been through a lot, and he's writing to the people in a church in Philippi, which is in modern-day Greece, and he starts by encouraging them not to worry, and then he talks about how he himself has coped with trouble. So I'll read the passage that's on your card too. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the centre of your life. Summing it up, friends, I'd say you'll do your best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. I'm glad in God, far happier than you would ever guess, happy that you're again showing such strong concern for me. Not that you ever quit praying and thinking about me. You had just no chance to show it. Actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned by now to be quite content whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much as with little. I found the recipe for being happy whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, whatever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. I don't mean that your help didn't mean a lot to me. It did. It was a beautiful thing that you came alongside me in my troubles. So, what is worry? I'd just like to say, you probably can't see them brilliantly, but a lot of these images are taken from a trip, various trips over the years that we've done as a family to Yorkshire Sculpture Park, which is sort of halfway between here and Leeds, just off the M1. So there's some slightly weird images in the background if you find them helpful. That's really good, but that's where they're from. So I've described some situations where I and others are worrying, just like Jesus did in the Matthew passage, which we'll come to at the end. And Paul says in this passage, don't worry. So first of all, I just want to have a quick look. What is worry? Well, I've got a definition here, which I find helpful. And it's somebody called Corrie ten Boom who wrote it. And she described worry as a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a center of fear. Fear in the middle and all these unhelpful thoughts just going round and round. The English word we use for worry comes from an old English word called wrugen, which literally means to strangle. And that's what worry does. The thoughts churn away in our mind and they strangle us. But worry can be it's a natural reaction to bad things happening. If you or somebody that you love has a health scare, it's a change of work, then worry is a completely natural reaction. It's okay to have worried emotions and thoughts at times. Having a worrying thought in itself is not wrong. Without worry about exams, some of us would never work. Without some health concerns, some of us would never go to the doctor at all or exercise. Without worry, we might put ourselves in some unsafe situations. So worry can be helpful. But this worry is about that worry I'm describing, worry about that. It's a specific worry and the solution can often be to break it down into small parts, to think, okay, I'm worried about exams. What am I going to do? I'm going to do this and this. And it can be dealt with by a revision timetable or finding somebody to learn with or whatever it is. So specific worries like I'm describing there can be helped a lot by what we call problem solving. But there's another kind of worry which is much bigger than that, no longer about one specific thing, more of a whirlwind of negative thoughts. The will I fail my exam overlaps with the am I a failure, am I no good, and it all just morphs from one to the other like a sort of cloud, the specific health worry that becomes that every ache and pain might be cancer. And this is what we call free-floating worry. If one thing's solved, another thing just pops up. And it needs more help than just solving one problem. Maybe more about thinking about what's going on in our minds and in our hearts. And that worry can affect us physically. It can affect our sleep, it can affect our performance at work, it can affect our bodies. I found a lot of help from a book called The Worry Book. So much help that I've obviously lent it to someone because I went to get it from my bookshelf to bring it to show you, and it wasn't there. So if you Google an organization called Mind and Soul, all one word, there's a whole load of really helpful resources written by a group of people. There's a Christian psychiatrist and a vicar, and they wrote this book together called The Worry Book. And it's got a lot of useful information. There's also some podcasts and other stuff on that article. But I want to think, and there's some other places to go for help. I'm going to think today about what the Bible says about worry rather than giving you the sort of medical advice or whatever. But there may be, for some of you, lots more going on than I can touch. So there's another place to Google if you want to get some help. You can go to your GP, but you can also self-refer to get some talking therapies. Nationally, it's exactly the same thing that you Google. It's called IAPT, Improving Access to Psychological Therapies. So if you Google, I Googled Sheffield IAPT, and there's a phone number on there of where you get some help. Okay, so as I'm describing worry, some of you are thinking, yeah, I can identify with this. But some of you maybe are thinking, oh, I'm not sure I do worry. I don't think I've got a problem with that. Great. I'm really pleased. Firstly, I think you might learn something that will help with friends that are worrying. But secondly, we're talking about churning thoughts that churn over and over. Now, you might have some churning thoughts that go over and over, but they might not be worries. So there's going to be something I'm saying today about just cycles of thought that can go round and round in your head that aren't worrying thoughts. You can apply that to your thoughts. So I want to think today about what we think about. And then all of us will have difficult times ahead. We might have a lovely life now, free from worry, but something might happen in the future. So hopefully there'll be some tools here. When you read this Philippians passage again, you might think, oh yeah, there's something in there that if something does happen that's a bit more troublesome, you can go back to. Okay, so what do we do about worry? So you've got on the reverse side of your card, you've got 5 points. You know where I'm heading. So if you get lost, you can try and get back to it. The first thing I would say is let Jesus displace your worry and set you free. And that is at the end of the first paragraph. It's a wonderful thing what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. So he's coming into that fear and literally taking it away. And that is really exciting, that all of the things that we're learning about worry, that Jesus can come in and take it away. In Luke, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And some of that freedom is freedom from things that are imprisoning us inside, like worry. So Jesus is in the business of setting people free from worry. So remember Ginita? She was scared in the night from worrying about what was going to happen to her children. Well, she was on a weekend away with a group of us from church, and somebody else in our church, one of the leaders, Kate, had a word that she thought God wanted to set someone free who was worried in the night. Ginita responded and asked for prayer. A group of people prayed for her, and she literally said after that she's not worried at all about that particular issue. So God set Ginita free just like that, and he has the power to do that. That doesn't mean he's going to do that the same for everybody, but I think we can ask him to do that, and it's really exciting that he does do it. So there are loads of practical things we can do, but I think it's just to bear in mind that Jesus is in the business of setting people free. So have a look back at the Philippians passage. The second thing that I think it says is that we need to shape our worries into prayer, and that's the reason why I've taken the Philippians passage in the message. I love that phrasing of shaping our worries into prayer, to seeing them as something that we can turn, and I particularly like that sculpture of that. So prayer is a great part of our response to worry. So that next sentence, it says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayer, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. So I think there's a few different aspects of what that shaping your worries into prayer looks like. After my busy day, I turn to God and I tell him stuff, and I gain his perspective. Sometimes I sense that he knows about what I need. As I turn my worries into prayer, I get that sense of his wholeness settling me down. I was thinking about this morning, and it's not a sort of cushy, it's all going to be okay feeling. I think it's a sense that God is with you in what you're feeling. Sometimes we're worrying about something, and the only thing we can do about it is prayer. It's a situation of genuine need. It's completely out of our control. And we need to shape our worries into prayer as intercession, to ask God to come into that situation. So that's another part of it. My friend Jan describes reading the Psalms as really helpful. And Psalms are prayers to God that others have written. They contain truth about God. And they're things, the words that we can grab hold of them. So when we're worried and we've got no words to say to God, we can read a psalm and pray that to God and use those words. And the passage also says in there, let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayer. And as we worship, as we give thanks to God in the situation that we're in, our focus changes, and we gain God's perspective on what's going on. So for me, particularly, I find listening to worship songs as a really helpful way of focusing on God. You might want to have a listen to one of my current favourites, if you're worried, is No Longer Slaves by Bethel. I'm no longer a slave to fear, but I'm a child of God. Fantastic words. So God gives us peace in our minds. And this, the passage describes a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good. And so if you've got the NIV open, you might be familiar with the words there, that it says God will guard our hearts and minds and give us peace. And that's a really powerful picture of what God's doing as we pray. Okay, so then if we move on a little bit, with something else that we can do, is to fill our minds with good things. And that's the bit where we're thinking about what we're thinking about. So it says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best and the beautiful, is a challenge for us to renew our thought lives. And I think that challenge is for all of us, not just those of us that are worried. Whatever we're thinking about, is it good and wholesome? Maybe you've got a pattern of bitter thoughts or angry thoughts or jealous thoughts. I was watching, it's a bit aside, it's not my script, but I was watching a teleprogram, a series that I'd got into watching. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to stop watching that. I just don't think what's going on in that teleprogram is good and wholesome. It's just filling my mind with stuff that I don't like. And so I stopped watching it. Jesus is challenging us to change the pattern of our thoughts and providing us with help to do that. There's another passage you might want to have a look at another time, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, and it describes us as being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And there's lots in the worry book about mindfulness, and some of that has some Christian sort of links with that. You might want to think about that. I know it comes from Buddhist backgrounds, but what Jesus is doing by renewing the mind is interesting. So by reading the worry book, I've just got a couple of things for you to, tips or things for you to look at. Bring your thought life to God. Be open to observing what you're thinking about. Spend a bit of time thinking about what you're thinking about and allow God to speak into that and say, that's not helpful. Spend some time with your thoughts. Don't brush them away. And see what God thinks. Ask him what he thinks. Read the Bible. It's a great way to meditate on what is true and noble and right. So read the Bible slowly and let it sink in. Put some good things in your thoughts. can also, you can set a time to worry, so you can think about worry at certain times. So supposing I'm in the middle of a busy surgery, I've got a lot of people waiting. We do a drop-in surgery, so don't panic, I don't run late, it's just I might have 10 or 12 people waiting. If I suddenly get worried at that point and take 10 minutes having a little worry, that's not very helpful for the people in the waiting room. So I can jot that down on a piece of paper and think, yeah, I'm going to worry about that later, and park it, and then come back later and sort it out later. So we can put worry off. So Christ wants to come into our thought lives, and I'd just like to read that, what happens, from the NIV, when we think about those things. The God of peace will be with you. So God gives us his peace, and he gives us his presence when we think about good things. So look at that last long passage about what Paul's learnt about with his troubles. And the last thing I would say is fourth point, be content in all circumstances. So Paul's talking about what he's learnt about being content in all things. And those are bad things have not gone away, but he's learnt how to be content. And he says, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. So the fact that Jesus has saved him, called him to be his child, healed him, it's more important than what's going on externally. He knows his identity is what Jesus has done for him, rather than whether he has food or clothes or freedom. So we may worry about whether we have money or provision. We worry in a world of disease, and some of those bad things that we worry about are going to happen or are happening. But we can ask God to give us that perspective and that peace that we can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. Last week, the Archbishop of Canterbury hit the headlines. I don't know if you know, but it was about the Sunday papers last week. He had an article in one of them. Turns out that the man he thought was his father all along was not, but he was the result of a drunken one-night stand liaison with Winston Churchill's private secretary, of all people. I don't know if anyone's read the statement that he made and the statement that his mother made. It's quite amazing, actually. What struck me was the difference, finding out that he had a different genetic father from the father that he had, didn't seem to be a huge consequence to it. What's more important, that he knew he was a child of his Heavenly Father. This is what he said. This revelation has, of course, been a surprise. But in my life and in our marriage, Caroline and I have had much worse. I think they lost a child, didn't they? I know that I find who I am in Jesus Christ, not my genetics. And my identity in him never changes. So he was content in who he is in Jesus. And a big change like that has not changed who he is. So, great. That was really great that all of that's there in the media. So the last point is to help each other in troubles and worries. And it's just that last sentence that I've put in. It was a beautiful thing that you came alongside me in my troubles. So how can we help each other through this journey of worry? You've obviously got, you're doing life together with people here at Sheffield Vineyard. You've got life groups, and we've got friends and family, and they're our main support. So how do we help each other? So last person is my sister, who's going to pop up on the screen soon. Bottom right, my sister Claire. She describes her worries as a cloud descending on her from time to time. And she's been depressed as well as worried. And when she's depressed, she says she worries about all sorts of things. She says she classically worries about the carrots in the bottom of the fridge and feels guilty that they're going off and she hasn't done anything with them. So she can worry about really tiny things, but they can feel huge. But then she can worry about massive things too. And I asked her what she found helpful, and she said she found having a close friend listen to her and let her express her worries was really helpful. And at the end she said statements like, I think we're going to get through this from a friend, would be really helpful. So the fact that a friend's going through it with her and going to stay with her in it is really helpful. Another way we can support each other is by praying for each other. the time when the worry cloud was so great for my sister that a few of us said that we would pray every day. And I was currently driving from Leeds to Dewsbury at that time, and every day I used to drive past a particular landmark, which was a gasometer. You know, they go up and down depending on how much gas is in them. And I said I was going to pray for her every time I drove past that particular place. And I did. And for years and years, in fact, I told that story as well, and my friend Kate says every time she drives past the gasometer, she prays for my sister too. And she still does it. So that's really great. So be open to God about him giving you something specific to pray for your friend too. He may want to use words or prophecy like he did to Kate for Ganita. So remember Jan, I mentioned her at the beginning, my doctor friend who struggles with worries. What did she find helpful? Well, she found another book on anxiety useful. She said she's learnt some relaxation exercises. She's done some online modules of CBT. She's seen her GP and she's taken some medication. She said talking about her worry to others in church had been helpful to her. She also says, I'd love to tell you a success story of how God's healed me, but I'm still quite broken. I long for Jesus' shalom peace to be a reality in my life. I could free up so much time and energy if I didn't feel anxious about all the things all the time. So there will be people in your life groups, in your around you that are worrying like that. But there will be moments when you'll be able to come alongside them. And Paul said that's a beautiful thing. So I'd like to just conclude by briefly reading the other major passage on worry. Don't worry, it's not another sermon, from Matthew 6. And there's quite a lot of themes that you'll be able to see from what I've said in the Philippians that are in that Matthew. So I'll read it for you. It's Matthew 6 from verse 25. And this is Jesus speaking. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in their barns, and let your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and thrown tomorrow into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So Jesus says for us not to worry about our lives, about what we'll eat or drink, or what we will wear. He asked us to look at nature, the birds, the flowers, how God provides for them, how beautiful they are without trying or toiling. Jesus wants to displace our worry and set us free, to be free like the birds are from worry. Jesus asks us not to worry about our stuff. And he says, because our Heavenly Father knows we need things. We can take some of these thoughts to him and tell him. We can pray, and he knows our worries. Jesus says that worrying cannot add anything to our lives. He asks us not to run after things, such as food and clothes and stuff like that. Jesus wants us to fill our minds with good things. He wants us to run after his stuff than the sorts of things we're worrying about. He wants us to seek his kingdom and gain his perspective on life, to put him first in our lives. There are some amazing promises to unpick in that Matthew passage about what happens when we do. He says he will give us his righteousness, which is about making us whole and forgiven before him. Jesus doesn't promise that the things we're worrying about won't happen. He says in the passage, do not worry about tomorrow, because each day has enough trouble of its own. But he wants us to be content in every situation and know his strength.